From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
In between Cupertino and Saratoga.
San Jose.
Oakland. Antioch.
Half Moon Bay.
Coming up, we'll look at how getting a hot meal can mean more than just nutrition.
That minute of exchange is such a high ritual when it has to do with sustenance and familiarity.
Then we'll hear how low-income seniors are coping with San Francisco's changing economics.
The nonprofit services that serve them are being forced out helter-skelter.
And we'll drop in on a dance class where an older generation gets down.
It used to be 50, what they say when you were old. Well, 50 doesn't apply no more, because I am 76, and we can rock.
That's all coming up today on Cross Currents. California has more senior citizens living in poverty than any other state. It's according to a 2013 report by the Kaiser Family Foundation. And within the state, the city with the highest number of impoverished seniors is Oakland. Many seniors rely on a monthly Social Security check to survive. But a recent study showed that that check doesn't cover the cost of living in Alameda County. While it costs a typical senior citizen about $2,000 a month to live there, the maximum SSI, or Supplemental Security Income benefit, comes to less than half that, only about $850 a month. This gap leaves many seniors in dire need of help from local social service agencies. In this story from our archives, KALW's Jen Cheehan visited one program in Oakland that's a vital lifeline for many of the city's most needy elders.
Glenn Iwaoka's been at the same job for 12 years.
Miss Blue, Meals on Wheels. How are you today?
Okay, so
you weren't here Wednesday, correct? We got that right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you on Monday then.
All right.
Okay, Miss Blue. Bye-bye now.
He's a Meals on Wheels delivery driver in Oakland. He's one of a team of 11 part-time paid drivers and about as many volunteers. And though he's been at it a long time, he says the work is still rewarding.
What's interesting about this job is that you do meet people, you do see people on a daily basis. And although you may not have had a previous history with them, just the fact that you do see them on a daily basis, you kind of just get to know them, or you just know this person. In that respect, it's very rewarding. You know, it gives you insight into life.
Meals on Wheels, Miss Cruz. How you doing, Miss Cruz?
Of course, Iwaoka's work is rewarding for the people he serves, too.
Be sure and tell Glenn how much I appreciate his presence. He smiles.
Hope Fox is 92, and Iwaoka has been delivering meals to her for over a decade.
He's very special. He's the right man for the right job.
Though Fox suffers from dementia, she's been able to stay in her East Oakland home, which she's lived in for almost 50 years. Her daughter, Pat McKern, comes up from Vacaville to care for her a few days a week. Meals on Wheels helps fill in when she can't be there.
We know that Glenn's going to be looking in on her on those days. We know she's going to get that hot meal.
Sometimes I know I'm lucky because I get to see other people, but I bet you there's places where he goes where they'll be the only outside person they'll see all day. And when he comes and he smiles and he acts like the world is going, you know, this makes such a difference.
So most of the Meals on Wheels recipients do not have support networks that you would think that family members, etc.
Jamie Almanza is executive director of Bay Area Community Services, or BACS, which runs the Meals on Wheels program in Oakland. She says the majority of the seniors they serve live alone and isolated.
So our drivers are trained to not only drop off the meal, but to do a visual and kind of personal check-in with the senior each day that they drop off the meals.
Actually, it's company, and that minute of exchange is such a high ritual when it has to do with sustenance and familiarity, and Meals on Wheels people have that.
Ben Haywood is 68 and lives alone near Mills College. Last year, a series of medical issues and hospitalizations, including cancer, a double hernia, and lung problems, left Haywood confined to his home.
I had become reasonably depressed and being an independent guy.
Being an independent guy, he says he was too proud to ask for help from his daughters. He stopped playing piano and writing poetry, two of his favorite activities. And his physical ailments made it difficult to leave the house. He couldn't go grocery shopping, and so...
One day I found myself with an empty cupboard. I ended up, anxious, wondering how I would get through the weekend.
So he called a social services hotline and got connected with Meals on Wheels. This was on a Friday afternoon. And by Monday at lunchtime...
A knock on the door, that BAC on that nice-looking vehicle, and a guy steps out with a box of food and a smile.
Bay Area Community Services currently delivers meals to nearly 600 seniors in Oakland and Piedmont, but there's growing need. A few months ago, the waitlist for service was around 200 people. And while they were able to clear that waitlist recently with an influx of new volunteers and a boost of extra funding from local foundations, BAC's executive director, Jamie Almanza, says it's still hard to keep up.
We get on average 15 new calls a week.
From impoverished Oakland seniors. It's the high costs of housing, food, and health care, the foreclosure crisis of the last few years, plus Oakland's history as a working-class, racially diverse city.
There's these pockets of concentration of people who have grown up in our city and are still here, but do not have the resources to continue to pay and live and thrive in the city.
While demand for the Meals on Wheels service has grown, overall, funding has been shrinking. The program relies on a combination of public and private money for its $500,000 yearly budget. Charitable donations of all kinds are still below their pre-recession peak. While in past years, the city of Oakland had given up to $100,000 to the program, this past year, that number was zero. And Almanza says forced cuts from sequestration have meant federal funding is also down.
There's a lot of talk right now about our aging population in the United States. And I think automatically people think, well, if there's an aging population, of course our government's going to adjust cost and have dollars follow seniors more. That is absolutely not the case.
Hot meals used to go out 5 days a week. But over the past few years, BAC has downsized to three. And though nutritional needs are still being met, fewer deliveries means fewer chances to do the kind of personal check-ins that are integral to the service.
I can count on that good human patronage, every week. And that's part of my life now.
Again, Ben Haywood.
It puts me back into just a general rhythm, on this earth, with my city, at my door. That doesn't give calories, but spiritually, it makes a person, yeah.
Haywood says he's going to start looking for work when his health improves more. And he knows that at a certain point, he'll no longer qualify for Meals on Wheels. But for now, he's grateful for the assistance and says he wants to find a way to give back in his own way.
I've just really begun kind of reaching... I feel comfortable enough, I'm saying, socially to maybe offer something. What can I give? It can't be money and stuff like that, but I play a good piano. Good spirits beget good spirits.
In Oakland, I'm Jen Cheehan for Cross Currents.
We first heard that story this past July. The BAC's Meals on Wheels program now serves just about 500 seniors, with a waiting list of 90 more. The program is currently seeking new volunteers to help with delivery and fundraising. For more information, visit kalw.org and click on Cross Currents.
That stuff.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm Ben Trefney. And now we'll turn to the lives of senior citizens in San Francisco, specifically those living in the Tenderloin and Mid-Market neighborhoods. More than 1 in 10 people living in these densely packed downtown blocks are aged 65 or older, and that percentage is expected to grow significantly in the next decade. The number of tech companies in the same area has also grown. It's bringing new businesses and demographics with them. So what's their impact? New America Media teamed up with a local paper, Central City Extra, to find out. They produced a series of reports on seniors called Old and Poor in Tech City. New America Media's Paul Klayman has reported on seniors for several decades. I asked him to share a story of a woman profiled in the series, Miss Me.
She is a 74-year-old Chinese-American woman. Her husband is 84 years old. And she and her husband live in San Francisco in public housing in the Tenderloin area. And they, because of the limitations in public housing for seniors, they actually have two different single-room occupancy hotel rooms, residences, a block apart. Ms. Mee's husband has Alzheimer's disease, and yet the public housing sector in this area, and this is true in many areas of the country, is unable to provide them a place large enough for them to live together. Ms. Mee spends most of her time with her husband and often has to leave him after he's able to go to sleep to go back to her own apartment through the Tenderloin, a block away. And it's a block that most of us would think, well, you know, it's not a great situation, but it's not much. But she's very afraid of the crime in that area. This is a stunning story. And it's the kind of story that we have tried to tell in very human terms to bring to this larger issue that we at New America Media are looking at nationally.
So the series that you've been working on is called Old and Poor in Tech City. And you chose to focus on impoverished elders in the Tenderloin and mid-market areas of San Francisco. Why'd you choose that neighborhood in particular?
What's happened is that with the Twitter boom, suddenly there is all this wealth. There's this kind of rising sea of wealth around what we call an island of elder poverty.
And you could physically see it. I mean, there's plenty of cranes right around there right now.
Now, here's what's interesting and a little bit unique about San Francisco's senior inner city senior population. The rents there are often already controlled, so their rent is not necessarily going to go up. But what's happening is that the nonprofit services that serve them in the area are being forced out helter-skelter in buildings that now where the owners, the landlords, are driving up, in some cases, tripling the rent.
And what I understand is that there's rent control on residences for people, and SROs are controlled in Section 8 housing, but for nonprofits that are renting places, there is no such rent control.
Absolutely. There's no commercial rent control in the city of San Francisco. The small, affordable cafes, businesses and barbershops and so on are being forced out, or in some cases we're hearing are being told by their landlords, you've got to kind of upscale your services to bring in some of this business from the tech or tech companies that are moving in and their employees.
That's Paul Klayman. He has been working on the series Old and Poor in Tech City, which is being put together by Central City Extra, a newspaper in San Francisco, and New America Media. So one of the issues of looking at the elderly who are impoverished is what the definition of poverty means now and how it applies to San Francisco. Could you tell me a little bit about that, please?
When you're talking about, you know, the poverty level for older people in the United States, currently it says about 1 in 10. It's about 9-10% of older people under the federal poverty line.
And what level is that? What is the federal poverty line?
And it's just about just under $11,000 a year in 2013.
So they say about a tenth of Americans who are elderly are making $11,000 or less a year.
And they're calling that the poverty line. Now you just look
sounds low.
You just look at your housing costs. alone, you're not going to make it in most cities, in most areas of the country, and certainly in San Francisco, and it's one of the highest rent cities in the country. So what does that actually take to make ends meet? There is a new poverty line index that has been created looking at housing, healthcare costs, transportation costs. It really takes about double the official U.S. poverty line just to make ends meet. But if you're looking at San Francisco, you're talking about triple. The average person, 65 or older, needs about $29,000. That's looking at last year.
And so that's about $2,500 a month or something like that? I mean, mm-hmm, what kind of benefits are most people getting?
Well, most people on average in the U.S., the average Social Security check is right around $1,200 a month. But
that's less than half of what you guys are finding with the Elder Index.
And it's even less when you look at lower income Latinos and African Americans. The fiction of the poverty line in the United States is something that has to be brought more into the nonfiction realm.
That's New American Media reporter Paul Klayman talking about the series Old and Poor in Tech City. You can find that work, produced in collaboration with Central City Extra, at our website, kalw.org. We want to hear your stories about how the new economy is affecting you and your community. How is Tech City affecting your life? Call our tip line at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. There are plenty of challenges associated with growing older, besides the potential for economic instability. One of the most frustrating can be how hard it is to keep your body in shape. Another is staying social and engaged. Well, our next story is about a group of people who found something that helps solve those concerns. On a wide San Francisco street full of workspaces, lined with cars and with no trees in sight, is the Bayview Hunters Point Senior Center. It's the one building on the block where there's constant activity. It's not just because of the home-cooked meals, the card games, the classes, and all the other things you'd find at most senior centers. This is a place where people gather. And one of the ways people get to know each other is by moving together. From our archives, KALW's Leela Day brings us the story.
So we're going to do it over again. Let's start it from the top.
My name is Ella Kendrick. And I teach senior line dancing.
Let's go. So walking.
You have to encourage them. You have to really encourage them to get up and dance. They want to because they can remember. You know, the music come on. It could be an old song that they used to hear. And they'll tap their feet. You always have to try a different step. Not the most difficult because they are. You try something that's short and easy and they can accomplish that little step. That's what they really like. And they get that big smile on their face. And so it encourages them to, maybe I'll try something more. You know? And so when you see them smile and they say, oh, I remember that song. And they really like that. So, yeah, that makes you feel pretty good.
Step, half, turn, pivot. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Dancing is all about concentrating and listening, you know. You listen and follow the instruction and concentrate, concentrate, concentrate.
My name is S.C. Reed.
And can you tell me how old you are?
Do I have to tell you that?
I think.
Well, I'm in my prime. I guess they were saying that, you know, as you get older, you can't do anything, you know. I wear heels. I love heels. I was born in heels. And sometimes my girlfriend would say, girl, you got on them high heel shoes. I've been wearing them since I was 13. I'm not planning on stopping unless I have to.
It used to be 50. Well, they say you were old. Well, 50 doesn't apply no more. 'Cause I am 76. And we can rock. Lots of people have their own flavor, and some of the flavor is not appropriate for seniors. You know, we were not trying to do none of the booty scooping and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's good exercise for seniors, you know. And I won't name no name. I was in another dance class at one point, and I got out because it was just a little bit too wild for me, you know. If I get up in the morning and I feel a little bad, if I sit at home, I feel worse. If I get on up and go on out, I feel better, you know. Because sitting around is not going to make you feel any better. I don't have family, but on the other hand, I do because my friends are my family.
I don't feel lonely because I have friends that I talk to and stuff. I mean, not lonely for friends, or lonely for male companionship, yeah. I'm retired, and I come here to stay active.
1, 2, 3, shake.
My name is Sheila P. Reed, R-E-I-D.
You do a quarter turn, and you start all over again with Grapevine to the right.
You can get in a rut, and I don't want to become those people that's afraid to leave my house or my apartment. Oh, no, 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 no.
And then I'll do Grapevine to the left. You go back 3, and you jump and you shake 3. With your hands in the air.
You know, I mean, anybody can just move their legs and do the steps, but it looks awful when you do it like that.
Hands on the knees. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you got to shake your hips and stuff, you know, to the music, and it tells you move to the right, move to the left, shake. You know, so you are supposed to be shaking. What's the point in being straight up and down and dry? Dry meaning that you just making the move, doing the movement, but it looks like nothing.
Right foot pivot, up, back. And that's still a 1, 2, 3.
Some of the women are widows, you know, but we never really talk about it. So it's a lot of seniors that they've lost their husbands. I have this tattoo behind my left ear, and it's a broken heart. I got it in 2010. My husband passed away in 2005, January. It just broke my heart. I still can't talk about it. It just broke my heart because I'll never see him again. So I got that as a symbol. And it makes me, I don't know, it just makes me feel closer by having that on my neck because maybe one day it'll heal. I don't know. But I really can't talk about it because I get emotional, you know. So maybe that's why I keep going, not to think about it. I don't know.
And a quarter turn, and you start all over again.
My name is Marion Reed.
I feel like my body has slowed down, but I don't feel as if I've slowed down. Now I'm on my own, and I do what I choose to do, you know, and when I choose and how I choose, you know. There's about 3 or 4 people has passed away. I think Evelyn was the last one about 2 years ago. We think of them because we hear the songs that they like. Hole in the Wall was Evelyn's. In the hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. We were so close to them. Mm-hmm. We were so close to them. It's sad, but yeah, that's the way it is.
Well, it has to be good for your memory because you have to sort of remember what's going on, you know.
You learn the steps, and then after you learn the steps, you can put your own flavor into it.
Well, it depends on how far your flavor go.
I might not shake, but it's not that I can't, you see, but I choose not to because I'm okay. So if you want to shake, that's fine.
That's why I wear my hair back. Plus, I have hot flashes all the time, so I can't wear my hair out because I sweat. I'm sweating now.
I forget some things, but not dancing. I don't forget dancing because I've been doing it so long and it's just there.
Okay, so Right, left, curtsy, and cha-cha, step back.
And that's it for today's edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes David Boyer, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff,
now we got a disc jockey out there.
Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Jasmine Lopez, brother. Liz Pfeffer, Stephen Short, and Mary Willis.
You got your soul. You can't be still.
Today's show is engineered by Seth Samuel.
You can't.
Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Holly Kernan is our news director.
Now I know you're going to show everybody where it's at.
Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
So jump back, sit down,
and thanks to you, that's right, you, we are listener-supported radio. The vocalists you're hearing now are called the Cetaceans. They're some of the oldest, best-traveled singers we've ever featured. They're not actually from the Bay Area, but they've been traveling up and down the coast literally for ages, so we wanted to feature them anyway. You might not think they're a local band, but today, they are. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.